Du ska vara välkommen att lyssna på den här CD-skivan som innehåller en av de 112 meditationstekniker som enligt legenden Shiva gav till sin fru Parvati i tidernas morgon vid Ganges strand. Texten är hämtad från boken Vigyan Bhairav Tantra eller The Book of Secrets. Och det här föredraget är en upptagning på band från 1973 i februari. Tekniken som behandlas lyder som följande. Illusions deceive, colors circumscribe, even divisibles are indivisible. Det vill säga, illusionerna luras och förvirrar. Färger omsluter. Och även det delbara är odelbart. Tekniken behandlar begreppet Maya, den kosmiska drömmen, eller Matrix-fenomenet och möjligheten att gå utanför den kollektiva hypnosen. Den här CD:n är indelad i tre avsnitt. Tre avsnitt som börjar med en inledning till föredraget, till meditationstekniken på 17 minuter. Därefter kommer en liten musiksnutt. Så kommer själva tekniken på ungefär 15 minuter. En liten musiksnutt. Och sen till slut så kommer det en fråga som en av lärjungarna har ställt angående denna teknik. Och frågan lyder: vad är guruns roll i denna Matrix-värld, i denna Maya-värld, i denna illusionernas värld? Och att reda ut det tar Osho hela 37 minuter. Håll till godo, du kanske måste lyssna mer än en gång för att förstå engelskan. Ljudkvaliteten är inte den bästa eftersom det är mer än 30 år sedan det spelades in. Men det går att höra om du har tålamod. Lycka till. Och lyssna som sagt flera gånger så kommer du att förstå.
Osho, Vigyan Bhairav Tantra, Volume 1, The Book of the Secrets, A New Commentary, Discourse Number 35, given in Bombay, India.
Civilization is a training of how to become unreal. Tantra is the reverse process. How to prevent yourself from becoming unreal. And if you have already become unreal, how to touch the reality which is hidden within you? How to contact it again? How to be real? The first thing to be understood is how we go on becoming unreal. Once that process is understood, many things change immediately. The very understanding becomes a mutation. man is born undivided. Neither he is a body nor a mind. He is born undivided, one individual. He is both body and mind. Even that is wrong to say that he is both. He is body-mind. Body and mind are two aspects of his being, not two divisions, two polarities of something which we may call life, energy, anything, X, Y, Z. But body and mind are not two things. But the very process of civilization, education, culture, conditioning, it starts with a division. Everyone is taught you are two, not one. And then, of course, one begins to be identified with the mind and not with the body. The very thinking process becomes your center. And thinking process is just the periphery. It is not the center. Because you can exist without thinking. Once you existed without thinking, thinking is not a necessity to exist. If you go deep in meditation, you will be, and there will be no thinking. If you become unconscious, you will be, but there will be no thinking. Moving into deep sleep, you will be, but there will be no thinking. Thinking is just on the periphery. Your being is somewhere else, deeper than thinking. But we are being taught continuously that you are two, body and mind. And really, you are the mind and you possess the body. The mind becomes the master and body becomes the slave. And you go on struggling against the body. This creates a rift, a gap, and that gap is the problem. All neurosis is born out of that gap. All anxiety is born out of that gap. Your being is rooted in your body, and your body is not just something separate from existence. It is part of it. Your body is the whole universe. It is not something limited, finite. You may not have observed, but try to observe where your body really ends, where. Where your skin ends, you think your body ends? If the sun, so far away, just goes dead, instantly you will be dead here. If the sun rays are not coming, you will be no more here. Your body cannot exist without the sun there, so far away. The sun and you are somehow deeply related. The sun must be included in your body, otherwise you cannot exist. You are part of its rays. In the morning, you see flowers open. Their opening is really the rising of the sun. In the night, they will close. Their closing is setting of the sun. They are just spread rays. You exist here because there, so far away, the sun exists. Your skin is not really your skin. Your skin goes on spreading. Even the sun is included. You are breathing. You can breathe because the air is there. The atmosphere is there. Each moment you exhale, inhale, the atmosphere in and out. For a single moment, if there is no air, you will be dead. Your breath is your life. If your breath is your life, then the whole atmosphere is part of you. You cannot exist without it. So where really your body ends? Where is the limit? There is no limit. If you observe, if you go deep, you will find there is no limit. The limit of the universe is your body limit. The whole universe is involved in you. So your body is not just your body, it is your universe. And you are grounded in it. Your mind too cannot exist without the body. It is part of it, a process of it. Division is destructive. And with the division, you are bound to get identified with the mind. Because you think, and without thinking there is no division. And you think, you get identified with thinking. Then you feel as if you possess the body. This is a complete reversal of the truth. You are not possessing the body. Neither body is possessing you. There are not two things. Your existence is one, a deep harmony of opposite poles. But opposite poles are not divided. They are joined together. Only then they can become opposite poles. And the opposition is good. It gives challenge, gives stamina, creates energy. It is dialectical. If really you are one without opposite poles within it, you will be dull and dead. These two opposite poles, body and mind, give you life. They are opposite and at the same time complementary. And basically and ultimately one. A one current of energy runs in both. But once we get identified with the thinking process, we think that we are centered in the head. If your legs are cut, you will not feel that you are cut. You will say, my legs are cut. But if your head is cut, you are cut. You are murdered. We go on thinking, if you close your eyes and feel where you are, immediately you will feel you are in your head. You are not there. Because when for the first moment you entered life in your mother's womb. When the male and female atoms met, there was no head. But life started. You were there and there was no head. That first meeting of two alive cells, you were created. The head will come later on. But your being was there. Where is that being? It is not in your head. Really, it is nowhere or everywhere in your body. It is nowhere. You cannot pinpoint where it is. And the moment you pinpoint it, you miss the whole thing. It is everywhere. Your life is everywhere. It is spread all over you. And not only all over you. If you follow it, you will have to go to the very ends of the universe. It is everywhere. With the identification that I am my mind, everything becomes false. You become unreal because this identity is false. This has to be broken. Tantra techniques are to break down this identity. The effort of the tantra is to make you headless, uncentered. Everywhere or nowhere. And why humanity, human beings become false and unreal with the mind? Because mind is an epiphenomenon, a process which is necessary, useful, but secondary. A process which consists of words, not of realities. The word love is not love. The word God is not God. But mind consists of words, verbal process. And then love itself becomes less significant than the word love. For the mind, the word is more significant. God becomes less significant than the word God. For the mind, it is so. Words become more meaningful, significant. They become primary. And we start living in words. And the more you live in words, the more shadowy you will become. And you will go on missing the reality, which is not words. Reality is existence. Living in the mind is as if someone is living in a mirror. In the night, if you go to a lake and the lake is silent and there are no ripples, the lake becomes a mirror. You can look at the moon in the lake. But that moon is false. Just a reflection. The reflection comes from the real, but the reflection is not real. Mind is just a reflecting phenomenon. The reality is reflected in it, but reflections are not real. And if you get caught into reflections, you will miss reality completely. That's why with the mind, with mind reflections. Everything is wavering. A slight wave, a slight wind will disturb your mind. Reality is not disturbed, but the mind is disturbed by anything. Mind is a reflex phenomena, and we are living in minds. Tantra says, come down. Descend from your thrones. Come down from your head. Forget the reflections and move towards the reality. All the techniques which we are discussing are concerned with this. How to be away from the mind so that you can move into reality. Now we will discuss the techniques.
I salute the Buddha within you. You may not be aware of it. You may not have ever dreamed about it, that you are a Buddha, that nobody can be anything else, that Buddhahood is the very essential core of your being, that it is not something to happen in the future, that it has happened already. It is the very source you come from. It is the source and the goal too. It is from Buddhahood that we move, and it is to Buddhahood that we move. This one word, Buddhahood, contains all. The full circle of life, from Alpha to the Omega.
Illusions deceive, colors circumscribe, even divisibles are indivisible. This is a rare technique, not much used, but one of the greatest teachers in India, Shankara, has used it. And Shankara has based his whole philosophy on this technique. You know his philosophy of Maya, illusion. Shankara says everything is illusory. Whatsoever you are seeing, hearing, feeling, all is illusion. It is not real. Because the real cannot be contacted by senses. You are hearing me, and I am seeing you hearing me. It may be just a dream, and there is no way how to judge whether it is a dream or not. I may be just dreaming that you are here and listening to me. How I am to know that this is real and not a dream? There is no way. Chuang Tzu is reported to have said, one night he dreamt that he had become a butterfly. In the morning, he was very sad. And he was not the man with sadness. He was never known to be sad. His disciples gathered and they said, Chantazu, Master, why you are so sad? Chantazu said, because of a dream. The disciples laughed. They said, because of a dream and you are sad? And you have been always teaching us, don't be sad even if the whole world causes your sadness. And just a dream has caused your sadness. What are you talking? Chantazu said, it is such a dream that it causes me very, very deep confusion, sadness, misery. I dreamed in my dream, I have become a butterfly. So the disciples said, what is so much puzzling in it? Chantazu said, no, this is the puzzle. If Chantazu can dream that he can become a butterfly, why not the otherwise? The butterfly may dream he has become a Chantazu. And now I am disturbed. What is right and what is wrong? What is real and what is unreal? Whether it was so that Chantazu were dreaming of becoming a butterfly, or now the butterfly has gone to sleep and is dreaming that she has become a Chantazu. If the one is possible, the other is possible. And it is said Chantazu never could get over this puzzle. This remained for his whole life. How to decide I am not in a dream talking to you? How to decide you are not dreaming me talking? With senses, no decision is possible. Because while dreaming, dreams look real as anything. When you dream, you always feel it is real. When dreams can be felt real, why not reality can be felt as dream? Shankara says, with senses, there is no possibility to know whether the thing confronting you is real or unreal. And if there is no possibility to know whether it is real or unreal, Shankara calls it Maya. It is illusion. Illusion doesn't mean unreal. Illusion means the impossibility to decide whether it is real or unreal. Remember this. In Western languages, Maya has been translated very wrongly. And it gives a feeling in Western terms as if illusion means unreal. It is not. Illusion means the inability to decide whether the thing seen is real or unreal. This confusion is Maya. This whole world is Maya, a confusion. You cannot decide. You cannot be decisive about it. It is always escaping you, always changing, turning into something else. A fantasy, a dream-like thing. This technique is concerned with this philosophy. Illusions deceive. That which deceives is illusory. Colors circumscribe. Even divisibles are indivisible. In this world of illusion, nothing is certain. This whole world is like rainbows. They appear, but they are not. If you are far away, they are. If you come nearer, they dissolve. The nearer you come, they are not. If you reach to the point where you were seeing a rainbow, it is no more there. The whole world is like rainbow colors. And it is so. When you are far away, everything is hopeful. When you come nearer, the hope disappears. And when you reach the goal, only ashes are there. Just a dead rainbow. The colors have disappeared. And things as they appear, they are not. As you feel them, they are not. Even divisibles are indivisible. Your whole mathematics, your whole calculating system, all your concepts are your philosophy, just becomes futile. If you try to understand this illusion, your very effort confuses you more. Nothing is certain there. Everything is uncertain. A flux of change. And with no possibility to decide whether this is true or false. What will happen if you take this attitude? What will happen? If really one gets deep in this attitude that everything which cannot be decided is illusory, you will automatically, spontaneously turn to yourself. Then the only point where you can have a shelter is your own being. That is certain. Try to understand this. I may dream in the night that I have become a butterfly. And I cannot decide in that dream whether this is real or unreal. In the morning, I may be puzzled like Chuan Tzu, whether now the butterfly is dreaming. Two dreams. And there is no possibility to compare which is real and which is unreal. But Chuan Tzu is missing one thing, the dreamer. He is thinking only of dreams and comparing dreams and missing the dreamer, the one who dreamed that Chuan Tzu has become butterfly, and the one who is thinking that it may be quite the reverse, that the butterfly is dreaming, he has become Chuan Tzu. Who is this observer who was asleep and is now awake? You may be unreal. You may be a dream to me, but I cannot be a dream to myself. Because even for a dream to exist, a real dreamer is needed. Even for a false dream, a real dreamer is needed. Even a dream cannot exist without a real dreamer. So forget the dream. This technique says forget the dream. The whole world is illusion. You are not. So don't go after the world. There is no possibility to gain certainty there. And this appears now to be proved even by scientific research. Last three centuries, science was certain. And Shankara looked just a philosophical mind, poetic. For three centuries, science was certain. But now, these two last decades, science has become uncertain. And now, the greatest scientists say nothing is certain. And with matter, we will never be certain. Everything has become against uncertain. Everything looks like a flux, changing. Only appearance looks certain. The deeper you go, everything becomes uncertain, indefinite. Shankara says, and Tantra has always been saying before Shankara was born, Tantra was preaching one technique: the whole world is illusory, think it as a dream. If you can think it as a dream, and if you think at all, you will come to realize it is a dream. Then your whole focus of consciousness turns inwards, because there is a deep urge to find the truth, the real. If the whole world is unreal, then there is no shelter in it. Then you are moving, following shadows, and wasting time and life and energy. Then move inwards. One thing is certain, I am. Even if the whole world is illusory, one thing is certain, there is someone who knows this is illusory. The knowledge may be illusory, the known may be illusory, but the knower cannot be. This is the only certainty, the only rock where you can stand. This technique says, look at the world, it is a dream, illusory, and nothing is as it appears, just a rainbow. Go deep in this feeling, you will be thrown to yourself. That coming to one's own self, you come to a certain truth, to something which is indubitable, which is absolute. Science can never be absolute, it is going to be relative. Only religion can be absolute, because it searches not the dream, it searches the dreamer, not the observed, but the observer, the seer, one who is aware. Enough for today.
I am interested only in your consciousness. Become more alert, more conscious. Just go deeper and deeper into you till you find your center of being. You are living on the periphery. And on the periphery, there is always turmoil. Deeper you go, deeper silence prevails. And in those experiences of silence, light, joy, your life starts moving into a different dimension. The errors, the mistakes start disappearing. So don't be worried about the errors and the mistakes and the faults. Be concerned about a single thing, a single phenomenon. Put your total energy onto one goal, and that is how to be more conscious, how to be more awakened. If you put your total energy to it, it is going to happen. It is inevitable. It is your birthright.
Osho, Vigyan Bhairav Tantra, Volume 1, The Book of the Secrets, A New Commentary, Discourse Number 36, given in Bombay, India.
Third question. In the last technique yesterday, you explained that in this world of Maya, the inner consciousness of the seeker is the only real shelter for him. In this reference, please explain the significance and role of the Guru in this world of Maya. This world of Maya is not a world of Maya for you. It is very real. And the role of the Guru is to show you that it is not real. It is real for you. And how can you think that it is unreal? Because you can think about its unreality only if you have a glimpse of the real, only then you can compare. This world is not Maya, illusory for you. You have heard, you have read that this world is Maya, and you may have memorized it just like a parrot, and you may also call this world is illusory. Every day someone comes to me who calls this world is illusory. And then he says, my mind is very much burdened. I am very tense. Tell me how to attain peace. And this world is illusory. If this world is illusory, how your mind can be tense? If you have known that this world is illusory, the world has disappeared. And with the world, all its misery. But the mind is tense. You don't know that this world is illusory. In the morning, when the sleep has disappeared and with it the dream, are you worried about the dream? Are you worried that in the dream you fell ill? Or even you were dead? While the dream was there, you were worried, you were ill, you were asking for a doctor, for some medicine. But in the morning, the moment you are not asleep and the dream has disappeared, you are not worried. Now you know it was a dream and you are not ill. If someone comes to me and says that I know that it was a dream that I was ill, but now tell me something, where I am to get the medicine, to get over that illness? What it will show? It will show he is still asleep. It will show he is still dreaming. The dream is there. In India, this parrot-like teacher, the whole world is illusory, has gone deep in the mind. But in the false center, it is not a growth. We have heard Upanishads, Vedas and Rishis have been talking for centuries the world is illusory. And they have propagated the idea so strongly that those who are asleep and dreaming, they think they are awake. The whole world is a dream. But their misery shows the world is real. Their anguish shows the world is real. The role of the Guru is to give you a glimpse of the real. Not a teaching, but an awakening. The guru is not a teacher. The guru is an awakener. He is not to give you doctrines. If he gives you doctrines, he is a philosopher. If he talks about that the world is illusory and argues and proves that the world is illusory, discusses, debates, intellectually gives you a doctrine, he is not a guru. He is not a master. He may be a teacher of a particular doctrine, but he is not a master, not a guru. A guru is not a giver of doctrines. He is a giver of methods. Methods which can help you to come out of your sleep. That's why a guru is always a disturber of your dreams. And it is difficult to live with a guru. It is very easy to live with a teacher, because he never disturbs you. Rather, he goes on increasing your accumulation of knowledge. He helps you to be more egoist. He makes you more knowledgeable. Your ego is more fulfilled. Now you know more. You can argue more. You can teach yourself. But a guru is always a disturber. He will disturb your dream and your sleep. And you may have been dreaming a very beautiful dream. You may have been on a trip. A beautiful trip. He will disturb it. You will get angry. A guru is always in danger from his disciples. Any moment they can kill him. Because he is going to disturb. That's what his work is. He cannot help you to be yourself as you are, because you are false. He has to destroy your false identity. It is painful. That's why, unless there is a very deep love, the work is impossible. Very deep intimacy is needed. Otherwise, hate will be there. So a guru cannot allow you to be near him unless you have surrendered. Otherwise you are going to be an enemy. Only with your total surrender a guru can work. Because it is a spiritual surgery. Of necessity, much suffering will be there for the disciple. And if he is not in deep intimacy with the guru, it is impossible. He will not be ready to suffer so much. And he has come in search of bliss. And you give him suffering. And he has come to feel euphoria. And you create hell for him. In the beginning, hell will be there, because your image will be shattered. Your expectations will be shattered. Whatsoever you have known, you will have to throw it. Whatsoever you are, he will undone you. Really, you are passing through a death. So in India, in old days, we called Acharya Mrityu. The master, the guru, is a death. He is. And unless you trust him so totally, this surgical operation is impossible. Because in the beginning there will be suffering. Your anger will come up. All your suppressed hell will be revealed. And only if you believe, you have deep faith and trust in him, you can remain with him, otherwise you will escape. Because this man is disturbing you completely. So remember, the guru's work is, the role is, to make you aware of your falsity. And because of your false center, your world is false. The world is not really illusory. It is not Maya. It is Maya because your eyes are illusory. They are dream-filled. You project your dreams all around and the reality is falsified. This same world will become real when your eyes are real. When the false center is broken and you are again rooted in your real center, in your being, this world will become the Nirvana. Zen masters have been continuously saying that this world is the Nirvana. This very world is moksha. It is only a question of eyes. With false eyes, everything is falsified. With real eyes, everything is real. Your false entity creates a false world around you. And don't think that you all live in one world. You cannot. Each one lives in his own world. And there are as many worlds as there are minds. Because each mind creates its own world, its own milieu. Even if you are living in a family, the husband lives in his own world and the wife in his own world. And there are collisions every day between these two worlds. They never meet. They collide. Meeting is impossible. With mind, there can be no meeting, only collision, conflict. When the mind are not, there can be a meeting. Wife lives in her own world, in her own world, in her own expectations. The husband for her is not the real husband there is in the world. It is her own image. The husband lives in his own world. And the real wife is not his wife. He has an image wife. And whenever this wife falls short from his image, there is a struggle, conflict, anger, hatred. He loves his own image wife, and the wife loves her own image husband, and those both are illusory. They are nowhere. This real wife is there, and this real husband is there. But they cannot meet because between these two unreal things are an unreal wife, an unreal husband. They are always there. They won't allow to meet the real ones. Everyone is living in his own world, in his own expectations, dreams, projections. There are as many worlds as there are minds. Those worlds are illusory, Maya. When your false center disappears, the whole world changes. Then it is a real world. Then you look for the first time as things are. Then there is no misery. Because with illusion, expectation disappears. And with reality, there can be no misery. Then one comes to feel it is so. The fact is fact. Only with fictions there is problem. And the fiction never allows you to know the fact. These fictions of the mind are Maya. The role of the guru is to shatter the fiction so that the fact becomes available to you, and you become available to the fact. That facticity is truth. Once you know that facticity, even the guru will be different. Because now if you come to a guru, it is your own image. Someone comes to me, he comes with his own image. And then if I am not following his image, he is in difficulty. But how I am to follow his image? And if I try to follow everyone's image, I will be in a mess. And every disciple thinks I should be like this or that. He has his own concept of a guru. If I am not fulfilling his concept, he gets frustrated. But this is how it is going to be. A disciple comes with a mind. And this is the problem. I have to change his mind to destroy it. And he comes with a mind. And he looks at me also with his mind. I was staying in a home with a family. The family was Jain, so they won't eat in the night. The old man of the family, the grandfather, he was a lover of my books. He had never seen me. And it is easy to love a book. A book is a dead thing. He came to meet me. He was very old. Even to come from his room was difficult for him. He was 92. So he came to meet me. I told him I will come to his room, but he said, no, I respect you so much, I will come. So he came. And he was praising me like anything. He said, you are just like a Tirthankar, the highest in Jain mythology, Mahavir. The greatest teachers are known as Tirthankaras. So he said, you are just like a Tirthankar. And he was praising and praising. And then evening came and darkness descended. And someone from the house came and said, now it is getting late. You come for your evening meal. So I told, wait a little, because this old man, let him say whatsoever he wants to say, then I will come. So the old man said, what are you saying? Are you going to eat in the night? So I said, it is okay with me. So he said, I take my words back. So you are no Tirthankar. A person who doesn't know even that to eat in the night is the greatest sin, then what else you can know? Now this man cannot have any meeting with me, impossible. If I am not eating in the night, I was a Tirthankara, a great master. I have not eaten yet, just I have said that I will eat. I am no more. The old man said to me, I had come to learn something from you, but now that is impossible. Now I feel I must teach you something. When this world becomes an illusion, your guru will also be part of it and will disappear. That's why when the disciples awaken, there is no guru. This will seem very paradoxical. When the disciple really awakens, there is no guru. There are beautiful songs of Sarhapad, a Bodh mystic. With every song, the last ending line is, and Sarha disappeared. he teaches something. He gives some teaching. He says, neither the world is, nor the nirvana is, neither the good nor the bad. Go beyond, and Sarha disappears. With every song, the last line comes and Sarha disappears. It has been a puzzle. Why? This Sarha goes on saying and Sarha disappears. If really you attend to the song, whatsoever he has said, there is neither good nor bad, nor the world, nor the nirvana. And if the disciple really awakens to this, Sarha will disappear. Where will be the guru? The guru was part of the disciple's world. Now there will be no entity like guru and the disciple. They would have become one. When the disciple awakens, he becomes the guru. And Sarha disappears. And the guru is no more there. Even the guru is part of your dream, of your illusory world. But because of this, many problems arise. Krishnamurti goes on saying there is no teacher, and he is right. This is the ultimate truth. When you have awakened, you are the teacher and there is no teacher. But this is the ultimate truth. And before this happens, the teacher is. Because the disciple is. The disciple creates the teacher. It is disciple's need. So remember this. If you meet a wrong teacher, you deserve a wrong teacher. That's why you meet a wrong teacher. A wrong disciple cannot meet a right teacher. You create your teacher, your master. A small teacher, a great teacher, it depends on you. You will meet the person you deserve. So if you meet a wrong person, it is you, and you are responsible for it, not the wrong person. The guru also is part of your mind. It is part of the dream world. But unless you become awakened, you will need someone to disturb you. Someone to help. This someone is guru. If he gives you methods, he is a simple teacher. If he gives you only doctrines, principles, teachings, and you need right now, think it in this way. Even in a dream, something can help you to come out of it. Even in a dream, something can help you to come out of it. You can try it. Just while falling asleep, go on repeating in the mind that whenever there is a dream, my eyes will open. For 3 weeks, go on continuously repeating, just falling asleep. Whenever there is dream, my eyes will open. Suddenly I will be awakened. And you will be awakened. Even in a dream, you can be awakened. by a certain method. Just falling asleep, say to yourself, if your name is Ram, say, Ram, awaken me at 5 in the morning. Repeat it thrice and then silently fall asleep. Sooner or later, you will get the trick. Exactly at 5, someone will awaken you. Even in dream, even in sleep, methods can be used which can awake you. The same is for the spiritual sleep we are in. A master can give you methods which will be helpful. So whenever you are falling in a dream, they will not allow you to fall. Or whenever you have fallen in a dream, suddenly you will be awakened. When this awakening becomes natural to you, there is no need for the guru. When you have awakened, the guru disappears. But you will still feel gratitude for the guru because he helped you. Sariputta was one of the greatest disciples of Buddha. He became enlightened in his own right. He became a Buddha himself. Then Buddha said to Sariputta, now you can go and move. Now my presence is not needed for you. You yourself have become the master in your own right. You can go and help others to come out of their sleeps. Sariputra, leaving Buddha, touched his feet. Someone asked Sariputta, you yourself have become enlightened, then why are you touching Buddha's feet? Sariputta said, now there is no need to touch his feet. But this could happen only because of him. This situation. Now there is no need. But this could happen only because of him. Sariputta moved away. But wherever he was, in the morning, he will prostrate in the direction where Buddha is. In the evening, he will prostrate. And everyone will ask, what are you doing? To whom you are prostrating? Because Buddha was far away, miles away. He will say, to my teacher who has disappeared. I am myself now the guru, but it was not possible. It became possible only because of him. So even when the teacher disappears, the guru disappears, the disciple will feel a deep gratitude, the greatest gratitude that is possible. There is a need while you are asleep, someone to disturb you. And if you allow someone, that is what surrender means. If you say, okay, I allow you to disturb me, that's what surrender means. A trust. Trust means even now this man leads you towards misery, you will be ready to move. You will not question him anymore. Wherever he leads you, you trust in him, he is not going to harm. If you don't trust, then no progress is possible. Because he is going to harm you. In your terms, he will harm you in many ways. And if you think that I am to protect myself, then no further work is possible. If you mistrust your surgeon, you will not allow him to make you unconscious. You don't know what he's going to do, and you will say no. Make the operation, but allow me to be conscious so I can go and see what you are doing. I cannot trust you. You trust your surgeon. He makes you unconscious. Because the very work is such, in your consciousness it will be impossible to do. Your consciousness will interfere. That's why trust is blind. It means you are ready even to become unconscious, even to become blind. You are ready to follow him wherever he leads. Only then a deeper inner surgery becomes possible. And it is not only a physical, physiological surgery, it is psychological. Much pain will result, much anguish, because catharsis is needed. And you have to be thrown back to your own center, which you have forgotten completely. Pulled back to your roots again, which you have left behind miles away. This is going to be arduous and difficult. It takes even years. But if the disciple is ready to surrender, it can even happen in seconds. It depends on the intensity of surrender. Unnecessary time is wasted, because the guru has to go slowly, slowly, so that you are prepared to trust more, to trust more. And he has to do many things unnecessarily just to create trust. Just to do the surgery, he has to create many things unnecessarily, which can be discarded. No need to waste time and energy on them, but to create trust. I quoted Sarha. Sarha is one of the Siddhas, 84 Siddhas, 84 Buddhist mystics who attained. Sarha says to those disciples who have become now masters, Sarha says to those disciples who have become now masters, that behave in such a way so that others can trust you. I know now you need no morality. I know now you need no rules. You have gone beyond. And you can do whatsoever you like, and you can be whatsoever you like. Now, no system, no morality exists for you. But behave in such a way so disciples can trust you. So if great masters have behaved in such a way that the society approves, it is not because they need to behave in that way. It is only an unnecessary thing to create trust. So if Mahavir behaves in the pattern Jains, it is not because there is any inner necessity. He behaves only so that Jains can follow, and they can become disciples, and they can trust. That's why many problems arise whenever a teacher starts behaving in a new way. Jesus behaved in a new way, which was not known to the Jewish community. There was nothing wrong in it. But this became the problem. Jews couldn't trust him. Their masters of old have behaved differently, and this man was behaving differently. He was not following the rules of the game. They couldn't trust him. They had to crucify him. And why Jesus behaved in such a way? India was behind it. He was here for many years before he appeared in Jerusalem. He was taught here in a Buddhist monastery. And he tried to follow Buddhist rules there, where no Buddhist society was. In a Jewish community, behaving as if he was living in a Buddhist community created the whole problem. He was killed, misunderstood, murdered. And the reason was only this: Jews couldn't trust him. A teacher, a guru, has unnecessarily to make many things around him, to do many things just to create trust. But even then, problems arise, because everyone comes with his own expectation. The guru must be like this or that. Surrender means you leave your expectations. You allow the guru to be as he is. And you allow him to do whatsoever he wants to do. Even pain results, you are ready for it. Even if he leads you towards death, you are ready for it. Because ultimately he will lead you to a deep death. Only after it, rebirth is possible. Resurrection is possible only when your old identity is crucified. Enough for today?
Upplysning är människans seger över hennes självförvållade omyndighet. Omyndighet är avsaknaden av förmåga att använda sitt eget förstånd utan någon annans ledning. Självförvållad är denna omyndighet när orsaken inte är brist på förstånd, men brist på mod att använda förståndet. Till upplysning krävs inte ett annat än frihet. Den frihet som innebär att i varje avseende gör offentligt bruk av sitt förnuft. Ty det är varje människas kall att tänka själv. Immanuel Kant, 1783.
Denna CD är en budkavel, en vandringsskiva. Du lyssnar 7 gånger. Memorera texten och ge sedan skivan vidare till en vän. Kopiera gärna skivan på CD eller kassett. Behåll ett ex och ge övriga budkavlar vidare till vänner.